These events in India, Korea, and China signaled one of the paradoxes of the peace of 1918. On one hand, the Allies won the war because they were able to marshal their imperial armies and resources, and consequently, in a war of endurance, the Central Powers ran out of men and materiel first. In this sense, the Great War was the high point of empire. But the war was also the beginning of the end of empire, in part because it economically weakened Britain and France, both of which were unable over time to reconstruct their societies at home and consolidate their imperial holdings abroad. The mandate system of the new League of Nations, established by the peace treaty, envisioned freedom for colonies over time. How much time was a matter of dispute, but once the Wilsonian message of self-determination of peoples was linked to the Allied victory and to the new league Wilson created, the days of empire were numbered. One of those present in Paris at the end of the war began his and his people's march to independence then and there. In 1919, Vietnam was part of the French Empire. During the peace conference, Nguyen Ai Quoc, Ho Chi Minh, petitioned the Allies to establish a regime of law and freedom of speech and assembly in Vietnam. He also sought representation in the French Parliament, from which he believed self-determination for the Annamite, Vietnamese, people would be enacted in law. He received no reply. Instead, he was put under surveillance by the French security police. A year later, Ho was at the founding meeting of the French Communist Party. Thereafter, he traveled to the Soviet Union and China, en route to Vietnam, and the 50-year struggle ahead of him and his movement. The global tracery of agitation and violence was not visible in the United States when the America Expeditionary Forces came home. World War I became a short-term memory, one of victory purchased by American bravery and muscle over roughly 1 year of combat. Fortunately, only 50,000 American soldiers died in combat. 50,000 more died of the influenza epidemic of 1918 and 1919. This statement does not for a moment diminish the harshness of the struggle against Germany in 1918, leading to the armistice. But U.S. combat losses in the whole of World War I were approximately equal to the losses France suffered in August 1914. The United States suffered a bloody nose, not a bloodbath. Hence the family memories of soldiers' sacrifice in 1914 to 1918 pale in comparison with those of either the Civil War or World War II. Industrial warfare did take its toll. When the Marines took Belleau Wood in June 1918, they did so at a high price. 1,800 killed and another 8,000 wounded, more than the United States had suffered at any time since 1865. American forces played a major part in the last Allied offensive in September and October 1918 in the Ardennes, and kept the pressure up on retreating German forces until they had to come to terms with their defeat. General John J. Pershing wanted to push on into Germany in later November 1918, but French Generalissimo Ferdinand Foch overruled him. The war on the Western Front ended on November 11th, with German troops still occupying French and Belgian territory. They returned home as an army and were saluted as if they had been undefeated by the new provisional government in Berlin. The truth was otherwise. The German army had been beaten decisively in the field, and with the collapse of her allies in September and October 1918, Germany could not continue the war, but the timing and terms of the armistice created the material out of which an entirely false narrative emerged, that Germany had been undefeated but betrayed by the November criminals, Jews, socialists, and other traitors at home. It is hardly surprising that in Mein Kampf, Adolf Hitler says he decided to start his political career on the day the war ended on the Western Front, November 11th, 1918. In one sense, he was right. The armistice was not the harbinger of peace we have taken it to be for a century. It was a ceasefire leading to a botched peace settlement and continuing violence in Eastern and Southern Europe and beyond. Why did the peace fail? Like so many Americans, those who made the peace paid too much attention to the end of hostilities in France and Belgium, and too little attention to wildfires raging everywhere else. And in part it was because those who made the peace in 1919 did not recognize that the war could make the world safe for democracy only if it was underwritten by economic stability. By punishing Germany through reparations, the peacemakers provided the war makers the opportunity to come with all the ammunition they needed. In 1945, recognizing that the surrender of Germany did not signal peace, the Allies started a massive program to rebuild Europe economically and thereby to undergird the new democratic order of the post-war years. The man whose name is associated with this program, General George C. Marshall, had served as a key planner of U.S. military operations in France in 1918. In 1945, he knew what it would take to avoid a repetition of the short-sighted vision of 1918, which had prematurely declared that victory was ours and peace was at hand. Making a real peace took more than stopping the guns on one front. Marshall saw beyond the Signal Corps seismograph that had misled so many others. He lived to see a kind of peace that had evaded the victors of 1918. A peace that lasts. Jay Winter is Professor of History Emeritus at Yale University and Honorary Professor at Australian National University. He is the author of Sites of Memory, Sites of Mourning, The Great War in European Cultural History, 1995, War Beyond Words, Languages of Remembrance from the Great War to the Present, 2017, and editor of the three-volume Cambridge History of the First World War, 2014. Captions. 1. A painting depicts the six signatories of the 1918 armistice with other participants in a carriage of Supreme Allied Commander Marshal Ferdinand Foch's private train in the forest of Compiègne. In 1940, Adolf Hitler selected the same site and rail car for the signing of a French surrender armistice, even sitting in the same chair used by Folk. 2. A reproduction of an audio recording of artillery activity on the American front near the River Mosel shows the contrast following the war's official ceasefire at 11 o'clock on the morning of November 11, 1918. 3. A crowd prepares to burn an effigy of the German Kaiser at Paris's Place de la Concorde in celebration of the signing of the 1918 armistice. End of captions. Sidebar. New nations formed as a result of World War I. Austria, Hungary, Czechoslovakia, Yugoslavia, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, Finland, Turkey. End of sidebar.